On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Pentecost event is critical to the beginning of Christ's church on earth. All you have to do is to look at the men that Jesus had entrusted his mission of spreading the good news. The apostles who were so scared that they kept the doors locked. The same men who ran away in fear when Jesus was arrested. And of course, they were led by the one who that very night denied even knowing who Jesus was 3 times. And yet these same men unlocked, threw open the doors of that upper room, stepped out into public view, and began boldly preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. What was the difference? It was the descent of the Holy Spirit. We see the immediate effects of them receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of wisdom, understanding, right judgment, courage, knowledge, reverence, and fear of the Lord. These gifts allowed them to understand the content of the good news, but also to have the courage to preach it, because it was too important and too precious not to. In today's gospel reading, Jesus kind of foretold that Pentecost event, that the Holy Spirit would descend upon them, it would drive out their fear, replacing it with peace, which would enable them to be sent, just as Jesus was sent. Their mission would be echoed by John the Baptist: repent and believe the good news. Jesus gave them, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the authority to forgive sins. In today's second reading, St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit." It's a reminder to us that the Spirit's gifts are manifested in different ways. Some, such as priests and deacons, are called to preach the good news in liturgical settings such as this, while others are called to preach it by living good, faith-filled lives. I've mentioned several times during this Easter season how much I enjoy reading through the Acts of the Apostles. But I've also noticed, as we hear those stories, a desire to get back to the early church, the one where the communities of the believers was of one mind and heart, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. It is a beautiful image. But we have to remember, probably is not that historically accurate. After all, the early church was filled with sinners just as we are. This is an ideal image to strive towards. But it wasn't the reality of their situation. An example is that church that I already mentioned that Paul wrote to, the church that he had founded in Corinth. If you read through Paul's two letters that are in our Bible, you will quickly understand the church in Corinth was a mess. There were divisions between the followers of Apollos, Cephas, and Paul. There were divisions between the poor and the wealthy, as well as divisions between Jews and Greeks. Paul's letters were an attempt to address those divisions, to remind them that Jesus Christ is supposed to be the center of their life, and that all of us are equal members of the body of Christ. As I was preparing this homily, I read a scripture scholar who wrote, "In many ways, as the Corinthian church makes very clear, Pentecost did not remove problems. It caused more difficulties. The greater the presence of the Spirit, the more gifted are God's people. And the gifts tend to make people jealous, defensive, and eventually aggressive. How many times have we looked with envy on someone who just seems so naturally able to live the commandment of the gospel, to love God and love their neighbor? How many times have we looked upon someone with jealousy who is able to quote any scripture passage?" This is what that author is talking about. But he goes on to write, "Wherever there exists the abundant gifts of the Spirit, there will have to be readiness to forgive." Jesus understood that. We have to go back to the Last Supper in John, as accounted in John's Gospel. Jesus' priestly prayer. At the very end, he is praying, "God, make them one, as I am one in you, and you are one in me." That is Jesus' greatest desire, that members of the body of Christ, the church, be one, be unified. But he also knows that unity is far from perfect. He knows that there will be divisions and cracks of that unity. He knows there will be dissension in the body of Christ. He knows we will need to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven by Christ, whose body we entered into at the moment of our baptism, and that should impel us to forgive one another so as to heal those divisions. What we celebrate today, the Eucharist, the Mass, also called Holy Communion. Holy because it is Jesus' real presence that will be here in a few moments. Communion because it builds up the body of Christ, the church. It builds up the unity that exists among us. You know, there are two times during the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer that begins after the Holy Holy, there are two times that we invoke the Holy Spirit. The first time is asking the Spirit to come upon gifts of bread and wine and make them Christ's body and blood. But the second time is asking those of us who partake of that, that we may be united, that we may be one. The Spirit is the agent of that unity. The Spirit is the one that continues to impel us to heal those divisions and to grasp the reality of who we are, members of Christ's body, the church. We have reached the end of the Easter season with this celebration of Pentecost. But it's not an end, but a beginning of the church on earth. And so it is a beginning for each of us to embrace who we are members of Christ's body, and to seek out His mercy and to share His mercy with others, so that we may heal whatever divisions exist between us, divisions that harm the body of Christ, divisions that will go away in the light of heaven. That is our goal. The one day that all of us join our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity in heaven. With the grace of the sacraments, may it be so.